Begin the current daf, Masech the Schul and Daf Samach Tes. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf from our opening Mishnah of this Perek regarding Behemah Makasha, which discussed regarding the laws, a unique law, that of Ben Pekua, that of an animal, a fetus that's found inside the animal. When the mother animal is slaughtered, the animal inside is permitted. However, if it stuck its limb outside, although the fetus is permitted, that limb that went outside is going to be forbidden. Like from the pasuk of Basa Basad the Treifel Isachelu, we consider anything that left its parameters that it's allowed to be in, for it to be permitted. Once it leaves that area, it becomes forbidden like a Treifel. Now, relating to the halacha, Bayrav Chananya. Chananya asked the following question. What's if Haitzi Uber, if let's say the fetus of a carbon shlamim sticks out as yodai, its hand, at the time when its mother, that's the shlam, is being slaughtered, be'azara, in the courtyard. Now, what's the halacha? And what the question is, do we say that the wall of the courtyard is also the mechitza, the boundaries of the fetus, to permit the fetus with the slaughtering of the mother, as the Gemara explains? Do we say migu to have a mechitz legabekachim, since ultimately it is a boundary for it in its context as a carbon of kachim? So having nami legabe dehai, so it's also going to be considered the mechitza for the fetus to say that it never left its boundary. So it left it, although it left its mother's womb, but it's still in another one of its boundaries, and hence it will be permitted with the mother slaughtering. Maybe you say no, that regarding the fetus, that's not its boundary. The mechitza is uber imahi. In this context, as a fetus, its boundary is to be permitted with the mother slaughtering in the mother's womb, and once it leaves that, it's not in the boundary, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. That was the question. So Amalei Abaye said to Rav Chananya, he said, V'tibaylach kachim kalim b'Yerushalayim. Why didn't you ask your question in kachim kalim, which what we're talking about of shlamim, a fetus, not just in the Azara, you could even ask your question in Yerushalayim, meaning that if the fetus stuck out its hand when the mother was in Yerushalayim, and then they went and brought the mother shlamim back into the Azara and slaughtered over there. And then you could ask your question, according to the one who holds that yesh leid de leivarm, as we explained this in the previous daf, that the limb is considered born once it leaves, and then it doesn't help bring it back anymore. You could still ask your question, which is the basis of his question. He's saying, although generally it's a problem when it leaves, the question is, do we say, and that's what Abai is saying, why ask it just in Azara, do we say that even the wall Yerushalayim should say that it's not considered yet basar basad, that it left and went out into the open area, the free range area, because maybe the wall of the city of Yerushalayim should be the mechitza of a kachim kalim. Now the reason why we're explaining it the way we just said is because you can't say that it was slaughtered the shlam itself in Yerushalayim, and that's where the fetus had stuck its foreleg outside, because then even the whole animal would be forbidden because you're slaughtering kachim out of the area. So but we're explaining it that where the mother was in Yerushalayim, which is a permitted area for a shlam, not for the slaughtering, but for the shlam in general, like to eat it, it's not considered yaitze, it stuck its hand out, but still, maybe it's not yaitze, because in the context of shlam, that's not yaitze. Then it was brought back into the azara, slaughtered. Maybe that should be your question. Why don't you ask it over there? Rather, says Abaye, kachim kalim b'Yerushalayim, my time aloikim mebaylach. Why didn't you ask it over there in the way I just described it, in Yerushalayim, not azara? Because the mechitza is uber imayhu. Because the boundary of the fetus is its mother, not the wall of Yerushalayim. So therefore says Abaye, so too in your case, that you're asking, the boundary for the fetus is the mother, not the Azara. And therefore, although for the laws of kachim, it didn't leave, but for the context of the Uber, it did leave the mother's womb, and therefore, it's not going to be permitted with the slaughtering of the mother, that limb that left. Another question on these halachas, Bayi Ilfa. Ilfa asked the following question. Haitzi Uber es Yadai. If this case is that we're discussing, the first case of the opening halacha of our Mishnah, if the fetus stuck out its hand, bein simen l'simen, between the two pipes, that's the food pipe, the windpipe, the trachea, and the esophagus that have to be cut for a proper slaughtering of the animal, ma, what would that halacha be? And the question is as follows. When the first pipe is slaughtered, when the limb was still inside the mother, inside the animal, so the cutting of that pipe was coming to permit that limb even for consumption, because it was still inside the animal, which would have been permitted. Now, once it sticks its hand out, now the cutting of the second pipe is not coming to permit the consumption of this limb, because it's already forbidden. The whole slaughtering wasn't done on it. Rather, what the cutting of the second pipe would be effective, even for the limb that left, would be to purify it from the tumma of nevela. As we said this in the previous daf, the sages, in contrast to the opinion of Remeir, hold that although the limb left, it's not considered nevela, as we said in the top line of the previous amid, rather it's considered a trefa that's slaughtered. so it's not permitted to be eaten, but it's not going to have the tumas of nevela, hence the other limbs, the other rest of the animal will not have maga nevela, Gurmeya said, but it'll have only maga trefa shchuta, which we'll explain later on in another daf, that's referring to a tumma drabonon by mukdashim, by kachim. But the question of the Gemara is as follows. Mi mitzdarv simen rishon? Do we say that the first pipe that was cut, which when it was cut, it came to permit the limb that hadn't yet left, both in laws of purity, of tumma, and also to permit it to be eaten? So do we say the cutting of that pipe comes to combine l'simen sheni with the cutting of the second pipe, which is not coming to permit the limb to be eaten, because it already left and the shechid is not going in it, and it's only coming to purify from the tumma of nevela? Do we say at least that it'll be effective letarmi de nevela, that at least it'll purify that limb from the tumma of dead animal, which was not properly slaughtered, since in that element, both cuttings of the pipe were the same? I lie. Or maybe no. Maybe since that there's a differentiation between the intent, the effectiveness of the cutting of the two pipes, that you can't combine the cutting of the first pipe, which when that was slaughtered was for two things, with the cutting of the second pipe, which is actually only coming for the limb to purify it from the tumah of nevela, and therefore you don't have a complete slaughtering, even for the laws of Tahara, and that'll actually even still be in nevela. So Amaravi says Kalvachemer. Says a Kalvachemer. Im hayloi simen rishon lesimen sheni. If the first pipe helps the second pipe, latir bachilom, which permits the whole fetus and the animal for consumption, and that we don't say that it's a differentiated slaughtering, and that the slaughtering should not help, not by this and not by that. No, we say when you cut both pipes, it permits it to be eaten, the rest of the animal. So therefore, says Rava, so then lo yoyo loy, so you think it shouldn't be effective, at least for that limb, letar midei nevela, to purify from nevela? Of course, we see that they do combine, and for whatever it's effective, for the rest of the animal, it means for everything, even for consumption. For the limb, that'll be for the laws of tar of nevela, and therefore, it will not have the tumma of nevela, although it's not permitting it for consumption. Now, continuing on this case of our Mishnah, Bayer B'Yirmiyah, it says, Ma'u lochesh lezare? What's a loch? Do we have to be suspect for its seed, for the offspring of this fetus, which stuck out its foreleg, and the mother was slaughtered, and then we took out that living animal alive, it grew up, and then mated with a female animal, and gave birth to its own child. What's the halacha? Should we say that parallel limb of that ben pekua, which is forbidden because it had left and it doesn't help coming back in, that the child that's born from it will also have that same prohibition? Now, regarding this question, the Gemara says, hey, what's the case he's talking about? If it's talking about where this ben pekua, this fetus, this child that was found inside the mother after it was slaughtered, which is permitted even without slaughtering, except for that limb that left, which is forbidden, what type of animal did it mate with? If it mated with a regular animal, not a ben pekua, so my area hide the isbe isur yaitza, then why would Yirmiyah have to ask it regarding this specific case like of our Mishnah, that the ben pekua is not just a regular permitted ben pekua, but it actually also has a forbidden limb that left, a filo ben pekua de ama. Even a generic child that was found inside the mother in the womb, which did not stick out of its forearm, and if it grew up and it gave birth to a child, nami, that they're actually there, even the whole child, even if it didn't have this problem of the aver that went out, would be, the entire child would be forbidden. Why? Because the Amrav Masharshi says, according to the one that says, we suspect, we're concerned for the seed, the offspring of the father, which that refers to Hananya in the context of the Isra of Isai Ves Benoi, where one is not allowed to eat the child at the same day as the parent, where he says we have to be concerned for the paternal too, for the father too, and that Isra applies too, as the Gemara will say later on in Chesme Beis, then Ben Pekua, Haba Behemim Al Yasa, then this child that was found in the womb, even if it has relations with a regular animal, Havlad Ein Lo Takana. So the child has no rectification. There's no way to permit the consumption of that child. Why? Because from his father's side, he does not require any slaughtering. As the Mishnah teaches later on the Ayin Dal Med Aleph, the sages say that the slaughtering of its mother permits it, so the father doesn't have to be slaughtered, so to the child doesn't have to have the same paternal lineage. Now, but in regards to his mother, who his mother was a regular animal, so the child needs to be slaughtered. So it comes out that these pipes of the child, the trachea and the esophagus that need to be slaughtered, are not valid pipes because half is considered like it's slaughtered already. Now, and even if you can say the half is divided, that one pipe is like slaughtered, one pipe not, so you have an intact pipe that you can slaughter, but an animal needs the majority of both pipes to be cut. So the Rebbe says, Rishashia, there's no way of rectification of this child. So then why would Rabbi Yirmiyah be asking it if it was this unique one that the Ben Bekua had another problem with, its limb went out with a regular animal? That always is a problem, even if it didn't have a problem with the limb, that the child can never be eaten. So as Yimah Loi Tzricha, no, the case Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking about is the Azl Aben Pekua de Kavasei, where it had relations and mated with a female Ben Pekua like it, where not a female that had the problem with the limb, but another Ben Pekua, where then both paternally and maternally, this child does not need to be slaughtered. But there's a problem of one of the limbs of the father. That limb does not get permitted with slaughtering. Why? Because essentially, that's not slaughtering, because the whole animal does not need slaughtering. The only one that has the problem is the limb. So my, what's halacha with the child? As the Gemara explains the question. Do we say, Aver, Meilad, Aver, how is a child born? Every limb of the father, which we're suspecting, we're concerning ourselves with the seed of the father too, that limb of the father gives birth to the limb of the child. So what you do is, that limb that went out, that foreleg, so the child's foreleg is also forbidden, that one that went out by the father, so you cut it off, and then the rest of the animal is permitted, because it doesn't need slaughtering, both from the father and the mother, which are both ben pekuas. Maybe that's not how it works. Maybe actually, the father, it's not every limb of the father gives birth to that limb in the child. It's that the seed gets mixed up and the whole genetic code of the father gives birth to the whole genetic code of the child. And then, therefore, there's a forbidden element of the father's foreleg, which is getting mixed up into the whole genetic makeup of the child. And therefore, the whole child is forbidden because of that limb. Which, again, the question that we're asking is based on the opinion of Chananya, who says, "V'cheishish lezarav." So what's the halacha? Is it only that limb in the child that's forbidden, or is it the whole child? So Hadamer, he subsequently had said that pshita de mevalvel zari. It's obvious that the way it works is that the seed of the father is one big mixed up genetic pool. And therefore, that forbidden part of his limb is getting mixed up into the whole thing, and the whole child is going to be forbidden. Why? Because Tim Cain, if you would think to say that every limb gives birth to that limb of the child, then suma yelet suma. Then the blind should give birth to a blind, and the kiteya yield kiteya, and the amputee should give birth to amputee, because everything should be exactly the same. Obviously it's not. It's one big genetic pool, and then it comes out in that, whatever the combination is. So elabshita dimavalvazari, rather says, Rabbi Yirmi, it's obvious that it's all mixed up together, the seed. And rather, v'hachli kamen b'ilan, this was our question. Behema ba'alma, a regular animal. Isn't it lav mikoyach chel v'dam? Isn't that the child is coming from the father's forbidden fats, the father's blood, all those things are forbidden to consume in the father, and still ka'asya, that's where the child is coming from, because those fats and that blood is also giving birth to the child, and still v'sharya, the child's permitted. We don't say that, oh, that forbidden thing is mixed into the genetic pool of the child, and the whole child should be forbidden. So hachanam eloishnos, maybe we'll say the same thing over here. Okay, so there's the forbidden limb of the father that went out. Why is that different than the father's chelev and dam? We don't say the child's forbidden. Maybe then, no, trei isuri amrin, and maybe regarding two prohibitions, we say that then it's going to be permitted when there's only a father's chelev and dam. But tlasa, when the father has three prohibitions, chelev dam, and the problem that it was yoyti, that it went out of the area of the mother's womb, that it's forbidden, because that can't be slaughtered anymore, maybe the loy amrin, and maybe we don't say that, maybe the child will be forbidden. Now, however, on this version of the question, the Gemara asks, but Laman, according to whom, or according to what opinion, you're going to have three prohibitions in the father? And that is, Ilar Meir, if you go on the Gemara, he says that you have an Isra of Chelev in the fetus, which is what this father was originally, he was a fetus, and that you're going to have the Isra of Chelev, but Isra Chelev Adam Ikka, then you're only going to have the Isra of Chelev and Dam, but Isra Yetzeleka, you're not going to have an Isra of having left the area, because according to a mayor, even what's inside the mother, what was always there, requires to be slaughtered. As the mission later on tells us, that if you find inside the mother, you find a fully developed child, it has to be slaughtered according to a mayor. So therefore, it's just like any other animal, and therefore it doesn't have an Isra Yetze, you'll just slaughter it like a regular animal. So you only have two Isra in the father. And Eli Rabbi Yehuda, and if you go like Rabbi Yehuda, who always disputes, he's the disputant of Remeir, who he says that no, as we've been saying this halacha, that what's found inside the mother does not need to be slaughtered. But then, okay, Isser Yetze Yeka. So you'll have the Isser of Yetze, which cannot be permitted, like we said, because you can't just slaughter that limb that left. So the father will be producing in the child a mixture of another Isser of Yetze, But then Isser Chelev Leka. But then Yoram the Isser of Chelev. You're not going to have three anyway. Because it's none, which is actually a brisa, we learned as follows. Gid ha-noshe noig bishlil. The first Tana says that the sciatic nerve, which is forbidden for the Jewish people to consume, is noig bishlil. It applies also in the fetus. The fetus's gid ha-noshe is forbidden. V'chelboy, and so too, those forbidden fats of a regular animal, those fats that are in the shlil, in the fetus, are also asr, also forbidden. That's the Rimeir, who, as we quoted before, he's the one who holds that the fetus has this isra of chil. But Rabbi Huda Oimer, he says, ein noig bishlil. No, there is no halacha of gid hanasha by the fetus, and the chel by mutter, its forbidden fats of a regular animal, are actually permitted in a fetus. And that is because Rabbi Huda holds, ube yerech imoy. The fetus we view as an extension of the mother. And that's why he's that opinion, not like Rimeir, that holds the slaughtering of the mother, permits the fetus. And because the boundaries of the fetus is its mother. Now, according to him, that's why there's an Isser Yetze, but that's why there's no Isser of Chelev, because the fat that those Chelev of the fetus is not considered Chelev, because it's not, quote, a behemoth, because it's not its own behemoth, it's part of the mother, for it to be considered Chelev, because the Chelev is only those parts of Chelev of the mother animal. So therefore, as the Gemara, your whole question was, a regular father, okay, Chelev and Dam contributes to the child, that's two, maybe three is a problem. But where do you have three? You don't have three anywhere. According to any opinion, you're only going to have two Isurim. So Ella Rather says the Gemara actually making a 180. Says, no, our question was not the way we had said it, because Kol Mikayach Lo Yemrinan, actually, whatever's coming from the strength, from the source, we don't say that it should be forbidden because it's coming from a koyach of Isser, like we said, oh, maybe the father has his chelib, his dam, yaitzi, maybe that's going to make it Isser. No, rather the shari, that's obviously permitted. There's no problem that the father's blood and fats and yaitzi are going to make it Isser. Actually, it's actually all permitted. But what our question was regarding a case where if the parent, we're actually talking about is actually if the ben pekua is a female, and then it gave birth. Now the significance of it giving birth is because that's when it starts lactating, that's when it starts having milk. And our question is, ma ligmaya eschalavai? We're actually not talking about, as we thought up until now, when he says cheshesh lazaroi, that we have to be concerned for the child of the ben pekua. No, we're not talking about the child of the ben pekua. We're talking about the ben pekua itself. When we say zaroi, we meant because when it has children, then it starts lactating, and then it starts having milk. And our question is, can you drink the milk of the ben pekua? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Chalav di alma, don't we say in generally regarding milk, like ke'eve minachai domi vishari? Generally, milk, how can you drink milk? Milk is taken from a live animal. Generally, something that's taken from a live animal is prohibited. It's called, considered eve minachai. It's a limb from the living animal. So generally, milk does not have that halacha, and it's permitted. So Hanami Leishnov, so here also by the Ben Pekua, should also not be any different, and its milk should be permitted. Idilmo, maybe no. Why? Hasam Islei Tekanta Li Isur B'Shchita. Generally, regular animal, you're right. Really, it's Eva Menachai. But it's not because, ultimately, that animal is fit to be not a Chai through its prohibition of Menachai, can be permitted by slaughtering. So therefore, we say that the milk is also already considered part of that extension, and it's permitted. But by the Ben Pekua, we said, there's no way of permitting its prohibition with slaughtering because it doesn't have the halacha of slaughtering. It's something that doesn't require, and there is no slaughtering applying to it. So maybe the milk actually, paradoxically, should actually be usher because of the Isra Eiv Melechai, because it has no accessibility to the permissibility of Shechita. The particular, let it stand, that's the question that we don't have, if the milk of the Ben Pekua is permitted to be consumed or not. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said, Chetech me'uber b'chulu. If the fetus was cut up inside the womb of the mother, if it was still inside at the time of the slaughtering, those pieces are permitted like the rest of the animal. So that asked the Gemara, Menolim, where do we know this halacha from? Says the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, which this clarifies in general, this whole halacha that we're talking about, a ben pekua, finding an animal inside the mother, even though it's not being slaughtered, that it's permitted once it's in the mother's womb. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Pergidal Pasuk Vav, it says, V'chol behema mafres is parasa begomer, any animal that has split hooves, as the Pasuk continues, that has totally split hooves into two, and it's malas ger, it also brings up its cud, bebehema in an animal, oisa techelu, that's what you could eat. Now, the Gemara stresses on the fact that it says, in the beginning of the Pasuk, it says, behema, where it says, v'chol behema, and then it says, bibehema, in the animal. So what the Gemara is doing is, it's applying the word behema in the beginning of the pasuk on the word bibehema at the end of the pasuk and expounding as follows. It's saying, a behema that's found, bibehema, in an animal, that's what teichelu, that's what you could eat. L'rabba says, avalet, that comes to include the child, the fetus that's found inside, that could be eaten in the mother animal itself, which was slaughtered. Now, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, well, emayata, but if that's the case, that you're calling the shlil, the fetus, you're calling it a behema, and that's what you're saying the first word of the pasuk there, v'chol behema, is referring to the fetus, but if that's the case, then yamir boy. Then, if let's say someone brings a chulin animal that's unconsecrated next to a carbon that's sanctified, that carbon is pregnant, and then he says, I want that this chulin animal should be the tamura, the swapping, the trend, the that it should change, exchange with the fetus of this carbon. Then that chulin animal should be a tamura. Why? Because by tamura the pasuk says in Yikach of Zayin that you're changing it with a behema. It says v'im hamer yamer behema of bibehema. Then that will make that animal that's chulin into a tamura. And you're describing, you're saying that a fetus is called, quote, a behema. So then it should apply in the halachas of temura. Alamatnan, then why did we learn the Mishnah Masechta's temura that says, ein mamirin, which that means to say that if someone does that temura, it doesn't make a temura. And the reason why it has to mean that is because every temura that you do is b'diavad, is after the fact. As we learned in the first parak in this Masechta, the Beis Amud Aleph. So when saying ein mamirin means to say, even after the fact, the temura will not take effect. Loy evarin beubarin, not when you take limbs for fetuses. Meaning, if let's say he says that I want the limb of this chulin animal to be the tamura for the fetus of this carbon, and loy ubarin beivarin, and neither does it work fetuses to exchange for limbs. So, if let's say he says I want the fetus of this unconsecrated animal to be the exchange for the foot of this carbon, That doesn't take effect as to tamura, and v'lo yevarn v'yibarn b'shlem, and neither does it help by chulin animals, whether it be the limb or the fetus, for a complete carbon v'lo shlem behem, and neither a full chulin in the limbs or the fetuses of the carbon. So one thing you see is that the fetuses are not considered behema, because if it would, then they should take effect in the laws of tamura. So El Rather says the Gemara, you're right. We're not expounding this drasha of a halacha of our Mishnah from the word behema, because it's actually not a behema. Rather, we're expounding it from the word kol, where it says it starts of a chol behema. Amakra, the pasuk says over there, v'chol behema, and every animal. And this is what we're expounding. That kol, everything which the pasuk continues, that's ma'afresa's parsa, that it says that it's ba behema, in the animal, that toichilu, that you eat, meaning whatever is found in the animal, that you could eat. The rabbi says, avol, that's what's coming to include the child, the fetus. But if that's the case, then even if you cut from the animal, the mother animal itself, from its spleen or from its kidney, then that should also be where you find whatever is inside, even its spleen that's cut up inside should be permitted because it's included in kol. Alam etznan, why do you learn the Mishnah that says, chaytich min u'ber shebe'me'er? It said, like we quoted, if you cut up from the fetus that's in the fetus, that's in the womb. So we said, if that's found after the slaughtering inside, mutabachil, it's permitted to be eaten. But minat choyle minat kolis, we said, but if it's cut up from the spleen and from the kidneys, asa bachil, it's forbidden to be eaten. Why? That says the Gemara, amakra, it's not difficult, because the pasuk says, oisa, it toichelu you should eat. Meaning, what does it mean, it? When it's shlema, when it's intact, then you can eat whatever you find inside of it. But, v'leicha seira, but not when it's lacking. When what you find inside it, what it was missing from the animal itself, so now the animal is not intact, then you can't eat whatever you find inside of it. But on that, as the Gemara, l'meata, but if that's the case, like we're explaining, that we're expounding and including the fetus, because whatever is found inside the animal, then you could go ahead and permit it with the slaughtering of the mother, besides if the animal is lacking itself. Then hashecha desa behema, then someone slaughters an animal, umatzaba demuz yayna, and he finds inside a something that has the figure, it looks, has the appearance like a pigeon. Tishri, that should be permitted, as long as you're not missing from the mother itself. Whatever you find inside, you say is permitted. Salama, Rabbi Yechon, and why Rabbi Yechon say, hashecha desa behema, if someone slaughters an animal, and he finds inside of it like a child that has like the appearance of a pigeon, that asa bechil is forbidden to be eaten. Why? It should be included in kol. So the Gemara continues on the base and says, no, because being a process, we need process, because the way we understand the pasuk is, yeah, whatever is, like the pasuk says over there, kol, that shtei process, it has two split hooves, and it's malas gera, and it brings up its cud, that's found in the animal, that's a chile, that you could eat. But v'leka, you don't have that with a pigeon, which doesn't have split hooves, and doesn't bring up its cud, it doesn't have the qualification for whatever is found inside. But in that is the Gemara El Miata. But if that's the case, then we have a different question. Kalut b'mei parali taser. If the animal that's found inside what we'll call the fetus has closed hooves in the fetus of the cow, well, then that should be forbidden because you're saying it has to have process. And this is not split hooves, this is closed hooves. And yet we had said in the previous daf that even Reb Shimon, who says gently cull it, that's a child of a par, is forbidden. When it's found inside the womb of the mother, it's permitted, but it should be forbidden. Says the Gemara, no, because Hatanid Reb Shmuel, Reb Shimon ben Yechai, it was found in the Tanoic teachings of the school of Reb Shmuel by his students, a teaching of Reb Shimon ben Yechai, who is the Reb Shimon that we're talking about, that the Pasuk says, Parsa and process. So Parsa, the Pasuk is also telling us Bebehema Techelu, which is telling us that whichever one it is, if it's Parsa or process, which would include also the kulit, which we said that's like considered Parsa, like as if there's one hoof, because it's not like process because it's not split hooves, that is permitted. It's only in the shape of like a pigeon, which is not Parsa or process, that's forbidden, and therefore it's not difficult why kulit Bebehema para is permitted. Now, the Gemara, however, had said originally a pshat behema bebehema. We fell off that because we said, no, it's not called a behema because then we have the problem with the laws of Timura. So we said, we'll learn that from the laws of kol, which we just defended that interpretation. However, Shimi bar Ashiyam, it says, lo'ilam kedekame meikar. Truthfully, you could say, as you initially had said, that the reason why the fetus is included in the slaughtering of the mother because the uber is called behema, and therefore it's behema bebehema, which is permitted. And that's why it's different than the spleen and all those different things which are not a behema. But then the question that you had was, then why do we say in the Mishnah Temur that Eimamir, that you can't do Temur with an Upur? Why? The Umar is Behema, and the qualification for Temur is with a Behema. On that says Reb Shimon bar Ashi, because Hamani, who's the Tana that Mishnah Masechta is Temur? It's Reb Shimon, he's like Reb Shimon. And the reason is not because an Upur is not a Behema, rather it's because the Makish Temur la Meiser. He equates the laws of Temur to the laws of Meiser. As this is brought in Masechta Temur in the first parak, that the Mishnah teacher, Reb Shimon, says that, wait a second, we say the laws of Temur by all the laws of Kachim, and Meiser Behema is one of the types of karbanas that we bring. So why does the Torah specifically mention the laws of Temur kol Meiser Bakar Vitzayin, that you shouldn't differentiate between good and bad, v'lo yimiren, and you shouldn't do Temur? Why was it explicitly mentioned? Says Reb Shimon, to make a hekesh, to compare the laws of Temur to the laws of Meiser Behema, which is, just like Meiser Behema is a karban yachid, because it's only by an individual's obligation, the tenth of every one of his new animals, that excludes carbon tzibur that the laws of Temur did not apply by there. So too, by Meister's kachim is beich, it's an actual sanctified carbon, that excludes kachim bedek abayis that the laws of Temur did not apply. So says the Gemara, therefore you can infer, so too, that Reb Shimon would hold, ma Meister enin noig be'ivarm v'ubarm, just like the laws of Meister Behemoth does not apply to limbs and to fetuses, because the Pasuk says in Birkach of Zayin, yaver tachas hashevet, the animal has to be healthy enough to walk past the stick that's stamps it to be the 10th one, and that doesn't happen by a fetus or by limb. Av Temura in Neheges Beivarm Vubarm. So too, regarding the laws of Temura, it doesn't apply by limbs and by fetuses. But you're right, according to the one that wouldn't make this Hekesh, not like Reb Shimon, would hold that you would make Temura because the Uber is called the Behema, the way we initially said, and that's why a fetus found inside the mother is permitted because it is Behema, Bebehema. And the laws of Temura is for a different reason because that's going like Reb Shimon, where it can't be an Uber for a different reason because it has to be comparable to the laws of Maisa Behema. Now, moreover, says Rav Shimon bar Ashi, Omunah Temra, and how do you know this idea that I'm saying that the Tana, that Mishnah in Temur that says, Eim Amirin is Rav Shimon? Because it's not. We learned that the Seifa of that Mishnah, that Rav Yisi disputes the Tana Kama. And he says that, no, you could be Mamirin, you could make Temura with a limb or with a fetus. And he explains his reason. Amr basically says, because Vahaloi b'mukdashin, because in regards to initially sanctifying a carbon, Temur is like what would be called the end of that. When you have a fully sanctified carbon, you try swapping that into another animal, that's Temura. But says Rabbi Yossi, I'll prove my point from the beginning of the sanctification of an animal. Ha'ima ragla shazu ayla. Someone says that the foot of this animal should be an ayla. You know what the halacha is? Kula ayla. The whole animal is an ayla. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, "Af kishayim ragel shalzu tachazu." And he says the foot of this animal should be the temur, should take the place of this animal. Tehikula temur tachta. It's all going to be just like the beginning sanctification. Just the foot, just a limb, it sanctifies the whole thing. So to temur will take effect just on a limb and just on a fetus. So what we can infer from Rabbi Yossi's statement is from the fact that he says to his disputant, oh, what do you mean? I could prove to you from the laws of Mukdashan of the beginning of sanctification that who he was responding to was to Reb Shimon. And that's what he was telling him. What do you mean? But you agree with the laws of Mukdashan of the initial sanctification that when someone says just the foot should be Kaddish, the whole animal becomes Kaddish. So too, by Temura, just a limb should make the whole thing into a Temura. But that's what you're disagreeing. But why? Why should you differentiate? Now, because if you would think to say that the Tanna Kamma that says Eima Mirin is, let's say, Reb Meir, he's generally like when we have an anonymous Tanna Kamma, anonymous Mishnah, like Reb Meir, says the Gemara, Lamad Kamahadale, who would Reb Yisrael be responding to? Elim Reb Meir or Reb Yehuda, but you can't say that. Mi Islahu Hai Svara, do they have this logic that by Mukdashim, by the initial sanctification, that if you make just the leg an Oila, the whole animal becomes an Oila, that Reb Yisrael was saying, well, if you agree with me by Mukdashim, then you should agree to me by Temura, but they don't hold of that point itself. Because Ratan, you learned the Braisam, Yachal, you would think, if someone says, let the foot of this animal be an oila, you would think, Tehekula oila, that it should all be an oila. Time 11, that's what the Pasuk teaches in the Yikra, that no. It says, whatever one gives from it to Hashem should be sanctified. What that teaches is, Mimenu kaidish, Velaikula kaidish. When you're giving from it, it's saying that should be sanctified, which is just the foot, but actually the whole animal will not be sanctified. Now, continues this Tana, Yochol Teitzi L'chulun. Okay, so you would think that once you redeem that limb, okay, so now that limb could go back to being chulun like the rest of the animal, Tamalamiyyah, that says, no, it will be, which is Bava Yosete, it will always be in the way that it is, that it will remain sanctified. So how do you define this animal? You're saying the rest of the animal is not sanctified, but that the leg is? So what do? So timacher, you sell this animal litzarchi eilus for someone who needs to use it as a carbon eil. V'demechulin, and then that money will be unconsecrated because it gets redeemed by the person who's paying for it. Chutz midmei eiver shaba, except for that one limb, which for that he can't take payment because that's not his. That's already a carbon eil of that limb. Which the Gemara actually in Temur asks, well, how does that person who's buying it to be using it for a carbon eila buy it if it's missing a limb? Because he's obligated in the complete carbon eila, and a leg of it was already sanctified by that other person, which is not his carbon eila. And the Gemara there in Temur addresses that point. But one thing we see that Divrei Mei Rabbi Yehuda, that they hold that actually when you sanctify the initial sanctification of an animal, just its leg, actually the rest of the animal does not become sanctified. Now, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon, they say, no. That actually, how do you know that if you say that let the foot of this, which Rabbi Yisi is the one that we're saying, and we're seeing that Rabbi Shimon is the one that agrees to him on this point, that where do you see that if you say that let the foot of this animal be an oila, tehekula oila, that actually the whole animal does become a complete oila sacrifice? Tamalemi, yeah, that's what it says. It should be l'rabba says kula, which comes to include actually the whole animal, because the pasuk should have written, kala sheyitin mimenu l'Hashem kaidish, whatever someone gives to Hashem from it, it should be kaidish. For the fact that it says yeah, it will be, that's an inclusionary terminology, that even if he gives to Hashem only like the pasuk says mimenu from it, which is only part of it, let's say just a leg, that actually yeah, that actually all of the animal will be sanctified. So you see that all of it is sanctified. So then the Gemara concludes its proof. So Laman. So whom is Rabbi Yisi talking to, who's the Tanna Kamma of that Mishnah? Either Rabbi Meir Yehuda, if you think it's Rabbi Meir Yehuda, but mi istahu hai svara, do they hold to that logic that he's trying to prove his point to Temura from Mukdashin? They don't hold to Mukdashin. Elalav, Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, rather, who's the Tanna Kamma over there? It's Rabbi Shimon. Because since we see that he holds in general, that we compare Temura to Meiser, so what's the reason why it doesn't work over the Temura by the fetus and by the limbs? It's because, yes, he agrees to the initial sanctification, as we see, that the whole thing takes effect, but by Temura you don't compare, because that's a different halacha, because Temura gets compared to Meiser Behema, which has to be something that could walk across the place where the stick is, which is not possible by the limb and by the fetus. So therefore, that's a proof for Rabbi Shimon bar Ashi's interpretation, why it's not difficult on the interpretation we had said initially, that the source is behema be behema, that the uber is considered behema, but it's just not going to work for the laws of Temura. So it's Gemara Loi. No. From here, you cannot prove that the Tanna Kamma over there in Temura is Rabbi Shimon, to prove this interpretation of Rabbi Shimon bar Ashi. Because truthfully, I could tell you that the Tanna Kamma over there is actually Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Huda, that they actually do not compare Temura to Maisa Behema. And the reason over here that it doesn't work to be Temura is because limbs and fetuses, we could say, actually are not behemoths, as we had originally said, that not like this interpretation that Rabbi Shimon bar Ashi is trying to support. But then the question was, so what exactly is, and this was what Rav Shimon bar Ashi thought would be his proof, so what's Rav Yishi then saying, if we're saying it's Rav Meir, oh, v'aloi b'mukdashim, what do you mean? He doesn't hold to that. You're right, it's not because Rav Meir holds to that, to say and to prove, oh, but you hold by mukdashim, so then agree to me by Temura. No. Rather, Rabbi Yisi Taima Dinafshi Kama. Rabbi Yisi is saying his own understanding. What he was telling to, let's say, Reb Meir was, what do you mean? I know by Mukdashin that when someone says, let this foot of this animal be an Oila, the whole animal is an Oila, because I learned this out from Yiye Kaidish, that comes to include the whole animal. So that's, therefore, Rabbi Yisi was saying, therefore, I know so too that when he says, let this foot of this animal be Tamur for that animal, that the whole animal is going to be a Tamura. And therefore, you'll find that it's going to be a complete Tamura. And that's because we're going to say it's a Tamura of Behema Bebehema, because it's going to be a full effect. But again, it's not a proof to what we had said was the first interpretation of Behema Bebehema, because actually it could be that the Tana Kama of this Mishnah is not Rav Shimon. So we can't prove that he's the one that says that it's going to be an animal. And the only problem is because you can't compare Tamura to Mukdashin, because you have to compare Tamura to Maisa Behema. No, it could be a different Tana, and actually it could be that they hold because it's actually not a viable animal. It's not considered a behema, and therefore it's not going to apply to the laws of behema behema. And it's actually Reb Yisi who does hold like that, and therefore it's not going to prove what we had initially said to prove for Reb Shimon that he's going to be, as we had initially said, that it's that we find the Uber is considered a behema. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the similar theme, but this time in regards to Hamavakeres, an animal that's giving birth to its first child, Hamakasha Leilit, that's having difficulty in its birth, meaning by its petarechem, the first child that it's releasing from its womb. So says the Mishnah that it's permitted to be mechatech aver. One is allowed to cut off limb by limb when they come out. The limbs come out one by one. They could cut off the limbs of this firstborn child. Umashlech leklav, and they could throw it to the dogs, because although generally the first animal is sanctified with kedushas b'chayru, which cannot be fed to the dogs, but here as long as the animal, the majority did not come out, so it wasn't sanctified, because the Bechayr only becomes sanctified by birth. So when one foot comes out or one hand comes out, you could cut it off. It's not the majority. And that way you could just throw piece by piece to the dogs. But Yatzer Rubai, but if let's say the majority of the animal came out at one time and then he cuts it off, then Harezi covered. That has to then be buried, because when the majority of the animal comes out, then the sanctification of Bechayr takes effect, because now it's already considered Bechayr Asher Yevali, which was born, because the majority already came out. So it has to be buried. And when the Fetaris from the Bechayrah, now it already exempted this mother animal from the laws of the firstborn, which is any subsequent child is not going to be considered the firstborn, whether if this first animal had came out limb by limb or whether it came out all majority at one point, because ultimately the second child is not Peterech anymore. It's not the first one to come out of this womb, because it was already opened by the first child, even though, again, it wasn't given to the Kain. But since the majority came out and it has to be buried, it exempts the future children of the animal from the laws of Bechayr. Now, relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, Idma, we learned as follows. Yatza shlish. If a third of the animal already came out of the womb, but only a third, u'machari la'evi kachavim, and then the Jewish owner sells the fetus to a non-Jew. And then, mechazavi yatza shlish achar. Then, after the sale, the next third of the animal comes out of the fetus, which that's already a majority of the animal, is already out. So, Rav Huna Amar Kaddish, he says that this firstborn animal is sanctified with Kedushas Bechayr. It has to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, and it's given to the Kain. Rabba Amar in the Kaddish, he says, no, it's not sanctified, it's all considered as Chulin, as the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning. Says the Gemara. Rav Huna Amar Kaddish, he says that it's sanctified. Why? Kesavah he holds lemafreya Kaddish. Retroactively, it gets sanctified, meaning, even though, as we said before, that the sanctification of the firstborn animal is only when it's born, and it's only when the majority of the animal comes out that it's born. However, the kivin denafik le rube, once the majority of the animal does emerge, which then it goes ahead and makes it born from the beginning, and the gloy milsulam afreya, it's retroactively revealed dimikar havakadosh, that initially it was sanctified, and might, because the majority of it was when it was born, although it wasn't yet born, but retroactively it's born, was owned by a Jew. So Ma'idah's oven, subsequently what he sold after the first third was born to the non-Jew, Leklum's oven, he hasn't sold anything because he has no rights in it, because it was sanctified with Kedushas Bechayr. Because ultimately, retroactively, the first majority of it was already in the hands of the Jew, and therefore he had no right to sell it. Now, Rabba Amar in the Kaddish, he says, no, this animal is not sanctified with Bechayr. Because Ksavim Mikano Laba Kaddish, he holds that when the majority of the animal comes out, that's when, from here on in, it becomes sanctified. But in the beginning of its birth, when the majority did not come out yet, then, even retroactively, it was only chulin, it was unconsecrated. At that point, it wasn't sanctified, and he could sell it, as if like when it was still in the mother's womb, because the sanctification is contingent on when it's finally born. Now, since the sale is a valid sale, so then the non-Jew is considered a partial owner. Now it's not sanctified anymore when the remaining two-thirds come out anymore, because umayda zavin, shabba zavin, whatever sold is properly sold. And even if now, let's say, a majority of it is going to be when it's emerged, but it doesn't make a difference, a non-Jewish owner precludes it from having kedushas bachar. Says the Gemara, v'azal tamayu, and they go according to the reasoning mentioned elsewhere, because the Edmah we learned, another machlekes of theirs. Yotze shlish derg doifen. If let's say initially the first third is born through cesarean, which is that they through medicine and through a knife, they cut open the stomach of the mother and they start taking out the animal, and a third of it comes out that way. But then towards the conclusion of the birth, the womb of the mother opens up, and then the remaining two-thirds actually come out through the womb of the mother. So Rav Huna Amar says, Ein HaKadosh. It's not sanctified with Kedushas Bachar. Yet Rabba Amar Kadosh says it is sanctified, as the Gemara explains. Rav Huna Amar Ein HaKadosh. Here he's saying that, according to his opinion, that it's not sanctified with Kedushas Bachar, because Rav Huna L'tamei, Rav Huna goes according to his reasoning, the Amar L'mafriya Kadosh, that he says that retroactively is when the sanctification happens, meaning it's the first majority that the sanctification is contingent on. Now, the first third, the first third, which was the first part of the majority of the birth, is what has to sanctify it. Now, v'ruba kama lesa berechem, the first majority was not in the womb. Kedushas Bachar is only peter rechem if it comes through the womb. If it's cesarean, then there's no Kedushas Bachar. So since the first majority, which is what retroactively is what the birth was not through the womb, and therefore it's not sanctified. Whereas Rabba Makadosh, he says, no, in this case it will be sanctified, because Rabba Tamei, Rabba goes according to his reasoning, Dama Mekanela Bakadosh. He says that the sanctification is from here on, meaning once the majority is born, whether in the beginning or in the end, V'ruba Derech Rechem Nafik. And the majority of it, whether we look at it in the whole picture, ultimately, the remaining two-thirds, which is the ultimate majority, came through the womb, and therefore, since it's from that point on, that once we have the majority of it being born, which is after the first third, that's when we see the birth happening, the remaining, which is the majority, is what qualifies it as Kedushas Bachar. Now, says the Gemara B'tzricha, and it was necessary to say the Machalik is in both contexts. Why? The Yashmin Baha, had we only said the Machalik is in the first case, so we would say Baha Kamar Avunah. Only did the Rav Huna say that the sanctification is retroactive, mishum dilakula, because if you would say like Rabbah that it's mikanu laba, then that would be a leniency, because that would be precluding it from the sanctification of Kedushas Bachar. So he says, no, it goes retroactive, and that you're going to say that even though he sold it to the non-Jew, it's still going to be Kedushas Bachar. Al-Bahach l'chumr, but by the second case, where it's actually a stringency if you say mikanu laba, Ibn Moiti the Rabbah, I would say he agrees to the Rabbah, and that we say that no, he still stands his ground, and he actually even says there's a leniency. And so too, as we get into the top of Ayinim and Aleph. The Etman Baha, had we only said the Machlekes in the second case regarding when the first third was Caesarean and the remaining two thirds was natural birth, Baha kama Rabbah, I would say maybe only with the Rabbah says Mekan al Abba. Because if you're going to say retroactively like Rav Huna, then that's a leniency, because it's not going to be sanctified. Abaha, Ibn Moiti the Rav Huna, but in the first case, I would say he agrees to Rav Huna because that's a stringency, and then he would say it is Kaddish. Tzricha, that's what we have to say in both cases, that no, they both hold their opinions, not just as a stringency, but even as a leniency, which is in both contexts. That's the Machlekes is regarding how do we qualify the Kedushas Bachar regarding the majority, which is the majority of the birth, but when do we qualify the birth? Although it's only when the majority emerges, but then do you say retroactively that it started in the beginning? So therefore, like Rav Huna says, you qualify based on the first majority, or like Rabbah says that no, once it's the majority comes out, then that's when it's born, and then you view the majority of, at that point, whether the first part or the second part, but it's based on that point, and therefore then it's going to be, whether leniency or stringency is going to be qualified by that remaining two-thirds to say that if it's going to be considered Kedushas Bachar or not.